Take your Bible and turn with me to Psalm 137 this morning. Psalm 137. My message this morning shall be brief, yet I hope and pray it would be one that would encourage each and every one of us to examine our own hearts before God. In all my years as a pastor, these last few weeks are probably one of the most difficult since we're unable to meet as a church publicly. Preach to an empty church or sit before your computer and pretend that you're preaching to a congregation is a most difficult task, one which I am sure grieves every true man of God. We're thankful for technology. We're thankful that we're able to reach out to our congregation and preach the word. Yet it's not the same when I see so many preachers on the internet preaching before an empty church or sitting at their desk in their office alone. It troubles me. For I know that we're lacking something that we need as God's people. And I fear many have not seriously considered the ramifications of the dissembling of God's people on Sunday. I know that this is necessary. And I know with this virus, so many people have died and so many are sick. I myself, working full-time in a nursing home, understand the dangers of contracting this virus and taking it back to a nursing home, yet I cannot escape the sorrow and grief in my heart that we are not able to meet face-to-face, to listen and hear your prayers and your voices as you sing praise unto God. As we lift them up together, united as God's people, to worship God, to sit together as God's elect under the preaching of God's word, to sense and feel the Holy Spirit as he moves amongst us. But I pray this morning, in some way, I could be an encouragement to those of you who, like me, are burdened about the absence of this assembling of God's people. Psalm 137, verse 1, I believe expresses many of our hearts this morning. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Eight rivers mentioned in the Psalms. In Psalm 46, we have a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Yet in Psalm 137, we have the river of Babylon, where the people of God sat down to weep. The former brought great gladness to those who were in the city of God, while the latter brought great sadness to the people of God being in a strange land. This morning, it would do us all well to humbly consider which river we as God's people find ourselves spiritually during this worldwide pandemic, which has disrupted the assembling of us together as God's people. For beloved, surely the closing down of public worship, be it voluntarily or forcibly, could never be a blessing in disguise, as so many people proclaim. The assembling of God's people together to publicly worship, praise, and glorify God has always been the true believer's greatest joy and delight. One not only commanded by God, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, Hebrews 10, but one which promises the greatest blessings, comforts, and encouragements. For here, in the midst of this assembly of believers, God has promised to manifest himself in wonderful ways to his people. Psalm 84 expresses this blessing, these blessings, and the joy of the believer. How amiable are thy tabernacles! How loved, how beloved are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart, my flesh, crieth out for the living God. He speaks of the tabernacles. He speaks of the courts of the Lord, but he speaks in a reference of God's presence being there. It's not about the building, they say, and I agree, but it's about what takes place in that building, namely the assembling of God's people to worship God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Listen to the psalmist, how he speaks about the blessings which come when God's people are assembled together in his house to worship and praise him. The streams which make glad the city of God. David also said in Psalm 122, David said this. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, under the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Yet here in Psalm 137, we find the people of God weeping, remembering Zion. Yet I fear this wasn't the sentiment of the majority of those who were carried off into captivity, but merely a remnant. For many had become content with their being in a strange land. When you look at Daniel or the three Hebrew children, even the remnant that chose to return to Jerusalem later on, this all evidences that not everyone that was taken captive longed and yearned for Zion, but they were content with their being in a strange land. I'm not content with this strange land, sitting here in my office, alone, preaching the word of God. I'd rather be in the house of God, with God's people, enjoying the fellowship, the psalms, the singing, the preaching of the word, the prayers of God's people. We wept when we remembered Zion. God had removed Israel from his appointed place of worship for their idolatry. He denied them a place which they knew was one of peculiar blessings. And now Zion and its worship is merely a remembrance, one which moves them to greatly weep. God hadn't changed, and they were still his people. But they were denied that place of worship where God had so wondrously and gloriously manifested his presence. Dearly beloved, I believe in these days in which we find ourselves, I pray our hearts would be burdened for the assembling of God's people once again, that we wouldn't be content with this strange land that we find ourselves. I heard one individual even say, we can never go back to life as it was, as a church, after this pandemic, after this disrupting of the assembling of God's people. They said, we can never go back to life as it was as a church. We must now emphasize church at home. Those that never loved or longed or desired for church, they feel no sorrow for its absence. They never truly loved it and adored it. But those that longed for it, those that loved the assembling of God's people, though those that had a place in their hearts for the house of God, for corporate worship and prayer and praise, we miss it. The world has long forsaken and despised the assembling of God's people together to worship. Yet now you hear them say that they want to worship, yet God on their own terms, and that in the solitude of their own homes. How could that ever be considered a blessing in disguise? How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Beloved, I believe you will agree with me when I say the church of God today is in a strange land. For the disrupting and dissembling of her gathering together has brought us to a strange place. And CyberNet shall never be able to replace the physical gathering together of God's people to sing, pray, praise, and worship God. Those who never seen the beauty or enjoyed the blessed assembling of the saints before this pandemic will not have reason to weep and mourn over its absence now, because they never really possessed a love and desire for such a gathering of saints together. But those that did, still do, and nothing shall replace the assembling of the saints together as God's people. How we yearn and long to gather once again as God's people in one designated place, to take out our hymn books and together lift up our songs to God, to hear and share one another's blessings and prayers, to sit under the preaching of the Word of God. This is what we long for. This is what we desire. And yet I fear after this disruption of the assembling of the saints together, I fear things are going to change for many. People will find more excuses now of staying home. CyberNet was good enough during the pandemic. Churches believed it was good enough then. Why is it not good enough now? When I listen to so many preachers on the internet the past few weeks, it seems as though they're untouched and unmoved by the absence of the assembling of the saints. They go on without skipping a beat, as though nothing's happened, nothing's changed. Listen to me. God works in this world first and foremost according to his own glory and power and honor, yet secondly for his people. And there is a reason why God allowed this worldwide pandemic to disrupt the assembling of God's people. It's for us to sit back as God's people and to consider these things seriously. But what about those who rest not content in such a strange land? This isn't a message of doom and gloom. It is one that needs to be taken seriously. What about those who rest not content in such a strange land? Well, let's listen to the psalmist, beginning in verse 4. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. Listen to the desire and longing of this remnant of people who wanted to see Zion. They didn't want to forget. They didn't want to forget Jerusalem. They longed for her. They didn't want to sing the songs of Babylon. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy, to sing the Lord's song in a strange land was to forget Jerusalem. For to rejoice with the world is to forget the church. But the faithful, we love, miss, and weep over the absence of Zion. We shall never forget her. So what is the emphasis of my message this morning? First and foremost, let us consider seriously what has happened by this worldwide pandemic and the disrupting of the assembling of God's people. Let us examine our hearts before God. What do we believe about the church? How do we feel about the assembling of God's people? Do we miss it? Is there a yearning in our hearts and our minds to gather together once again with God's people? Or are we content with CyberNet Church? Drive-in sermons? Or do we find ourselves on our face before God, confessing our sins and our complacency and apathy towards the church and that day of worship when God's people gather together? America has long forsaken the Lord's Day. And many Christians before this pandemic never really seriously considered the church and its importance, finding excuses for not going to church, finding reasons not to assemble together. Perhaps God is sending his people a wake-up call by removing our ability and our privilege and our blessings of gathering together. Perhaps God is working in our hearts to reveal unto us the things we took for granted. Oh God, I pray that we would hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. And may we as thy people ever yearn and long for the assembling of God's people. That old glorious hymn written by Newton, "Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. He whose word cannot be broken formed thee for his own abode. On the rock of ages founded, what can shake thy sure repose? With salvation walls surrounded, thou mayest smile at all thy foes. See the streams of living waters springing from eternal love. Well supply thy sons and daughters, and all fear of want remove. Who can faint while such a river ever flows their thirst to assuage? Grace, which like the Lord the giver, never fails from age to age. Round each habitation hovering, see the cloud and fire appear, for a glory and a covering, showing that the Lord is near. Thus deriving from their banner, light by night and shade by day, safe they feed upon the manna, which he gives them when they pray. Savior, if of Zion city, I through grace a member am, let the world deride or pity, I will glory in thy name. Fading is the worldling's pleasure, all his boasted pomp and show, solid joys and lasting treasure, none but Zion's children know. God, give us grace to yearn and long and pray that we might quickly, once again, gather together as God's people in a designated place to worship him. And may we not be content with anything short of that, but may we grow in love and longing and yearning for one another, for God's presence, for the singing of hymns together, for the prayers of the saints together. Oh, may God help us to have the same courage, faith, and love for Zion as these remnant of Jews did in Psalm 137. We cannot sing the Lord's song in a strange land, but oh, we would sing it in the walls of Zion. May God bless us, and may we ever seek and long and yearn and pray that soon, very soon, we shall all meet once again in the house of God.